This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. Alfred Hitchcock was born 100 years ago today. To celebrate, we are featuring interviews from our archives, which Terry Gross recorded with people who worked with Hitchcock.
Pretty scary. Birds turn against people and attack them, pecking them to death. That's the premise of the Hitchcock thriller, The Birds. The screenplay was written by my guest, Evan Hunter, who also wrote the novel Blackboard Jungle, which was adapted into the film of the same name. You may also know Hunter by his pen name, Ed McBain, under which he writes the 87th Precinct mystery novels. His screenplay for The Birds was adapted from a novella by Daphne du Maurier about an English farmer and his wife who are attacked in their cottage. I spoke with Hunter about working with Hitchcock. Hunter said writing the adaptation was difficult.
Well, I wasn't so much worried about how The Birds would perform because I figured that was his job, not mine, directing The Birds. But if we stuck to the original premise of these two people in the cottage who, in the story, as I recall, spoke to each other mainly in grunts and long pauses, there would be a lot of lapsed time on the screen.
Right. Now, what was the climax in the novel, and what did you think of the climax?
The climax was the scene that survived, the only scene that survived the story, where the finches come down the chimney into the cottage.
Hitchcock told you that he wanted to get rid of everything in the novella except the title and the idea of birds attacking. Did he have a similar reaction to the novella that you did, that there really wasn't much there that would adapt into a film?
I think he had other reasons for not wanting to keep it the way it was. He liked to deal, in all of his movies, he dealt with more sophisticated people who were intelligent and quick-speaking and almost glib, and he didn't have that opportunity with these characters. So in a sense, our reactions were the same in that respect. But he also did not want to shoot ever again in England, he told me. He never wanted to go back to England and shoot there. So he wanted to transfer the entire story to the United States someplace. And we chose the San Francisco location because, or he chose it actually, because he had luck with, I guess it was The Trouble with Harry or Suspicion or one of them that was shot up there in Petaluma in the chicken country up around San Francisco. And he looked upon omens and little superstitious things. Like he had great luck with Rebecca, which is why he bought the birds, you know, and he had luck shooting around the San Francisco area, so he wanted to go back to shoot there.
Now, you say in your book, Me and Hitch, that you wanted to do The Birds as a screwball comedy that suddenly turns terrifying.
Yeah, that idea came later. We went with several notions of... I remember one of my ideas was to come out with and have her a school teacher, the new school mom in this little town, Bodega Bay, and an inbred hostility from the natives against the newcomer, the big city girl from San Francisco. And this was one of the ideas that was shot down. She survived, of course, as Annie in the screenplay and in the movie, but not as the lead character. One of the ideas he had was that she was a newspaper reporter coming up from San Francisco to examine... to look into some reported bird attacks, and this went by the by, but it survived as her father being the publisher of a newspaper. We kept flipping around with looking for a handle on it, and then one day I was on my lunch hour, and when I came back, I said to Hitch, "Why don't we do a screwball comedy?" And suddenly it turns to terror. We have a bird attack in the middle of some nonsense. And we know we're serious here. We're talking about bird attacks. And he liked that idea very much, and that's what we went with.
Do you feel that that was a successful idea?
Yeah, I thought it was a successful idea. but I'm not so good. I'm not so sure how successful it turned out to be in execution. It was a very difficult premise to bring off to begin with, and I think it required enormous skill all along the way, and perhaps I had not the skills, and I know Hitch had the skills because he dealt with comedy very often in the past, but I don't think he ever dealt with emerging comedy with terror. And of course, it takes a great deal of skill on the part of the performers.
Yeah, well, Hitchcock, I think, had wanted Grace Kelly and Cary Grant. Did you write with them in mind?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was no question. They were at the forefronts of both of our minds while we were talking the script. A Grace Kelly, Cary Grant team.
And of course,
it was impossible, you know, because Grace was already in Monaco, as Hitch said, being a princess, you know. And Cary Grant wanted 50% of the picture, and Hitch would never give him anything like that.
So how'd you end up with Tippi Hedren and Rod Taylor instead?
I don't know how Rod Taylor was hired. I know one day I was standing in the corridor there outside Hitch's office talking to one of the secretaries or his assistant, I forget whom. And he came out of his private office and the door to the office was open and he walked down the hall to me and I could look down the hallway and there was this tall, glacial blonde standing there and he whispered, "There's Melanie." And I whispered back, "Who is she?" And he said, "She was doing hair commercials or shampoo commercials," or whatever he said. And I said, "Well, do you think she can play Melanie, you know, because it's a difficult part?" And he said, "Trust me, Evan, trust me." And that was Melanie.
Well, did you think Tippi Hedren and Rod Taylor were good choices?
I never got the... I never saw in rehearsals and in the filming and on the set the sort of chemistry that you need for screwball comedy. You know, that screwball comedy has to be people who meet cute and are angry at each other from minute one, but we know they're desperately in love with each other and will get together by the end. Screwball comedy is, "I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth." And of course we know she's going to marry him one day. But I never got that feeling between the two of them that either one of them would have married each other if indeed they were the last people on earth.
Now, when you were working with Hitchcock on the screenplay, did you talk a lot about why the birds were attacking?
It came up frequently because we didn't want to make the movie a science fiction film. We could have said, "Well, you know, the birds are attacking because there's a strain of virus 21-7 going around, and this is probably from another planet," or any such nonsense as that. And at the same time, we didn't want it to seem as if we hadn't thought of it, as if we hadn't thought, why are these birds attacking? You know, why the creative forces behind the picture hadn't once thought to ask this question of themselves. So it was a dodgy situation. And we decided, I did a scene in the screenplay where they try to figure out why the birds are doing this. And they succeed only in frightening themselves. But what they do come up with is the notion that there is a collective intelligence behind it, that these birds are not acting in isolated little groups, but that it's all the birds. It's all the birds attacking mankind for whatever reason. We never explain why, but at least we do explain that there is a unified force here and not some stragglers.
What happened to that scene?
On the cutting room floor. I don't think he ever... Wait, did he shoot that one? Yes, he did shoot it. He shot it, and it did not survive the final cut.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Hitchcock concerned when you were writing the story about how he was going to technically pull off the bird scenes?
Never. I once asked him in one of our meetings, "How far can I go with this, Hitch?" And he said, "To go wherever you want, and let me worry about it. You put it on paper, and I'll get it on film." And I think he really believed that. You know, you must remember this was in 1961. And we did not have Star Wars technology, which is unfortunate because we would have had them screaming out of the theater, I promise you. But we did not have it. And I don't think he realized when he made that promise to me that how difficult it was going to be to deal with birds and to deal with animation and to deal with puppetry and all the other little gimmicks he used to create the illusion of reality. It was interesting because the most real thing in the movie, to me anyway, were the birds, not the people. The people, in a way, were the puppets, and the hand puppets that were biting the people seemed real. It was a strange irony.
What percentage of the birds would you say were puppets in animations? How much of the birds was real?
I'm trying to, I can't assign percentages to it. I can only give you absolute examples. The scene where the birds are attacking the town, where the gas station catches on fire, and the birds, and we cut to way above the gas station, we see the birds flying in formation like a flight of fighter planes.
Mm-hmm.
Those were animated. One of the most frightening scenes in the film is where Rod Taylor is trying to pull the shutter closed and tie it with a cord, and a bird is pecking at his hand. That was a puppet. Some of the birds in the scene where the children are running away from the school.
Yeah.
And the birds are on the children's backs, and they're trying to get them off, and they're going at them. Those were mechanical birds that the children were operating from little, you know, buzzers and things inside their clothing. The scene where the swifts come down the chimney, that was all double exposure. We shot the people running around the room, flapping their hands in the air, and then the birds were added onto that later on. Like that.
My guest is Evan Hunter, who wrote the screenplay for The Birds. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Before Evan Hunter tells us more about writing the screenplay for Alfred Hitchcock's thriller The Birds, let's hear a scene from the film. The townspeople are gathered in a restaurant after a bird attack on the school.
Now, maybe we're all getting a little carried away by this. Admittedly, a few birds did act strange, but that's no reason to believe.
I keep telling you, this isn't a few birds. These are gulls, crows, swifts.
I have never known birds of different species to flock together. The very concept is unimaginable. Why, if that happened, we wouldn't have a chance. How could we possibly hope to fight them?
We couldn't. You're right. You're right, Mrs. Bundy.
What's the matter? Something wrong out here?
We're fighting a war, Sam.
War? Against who?
Against birds.
I'm glad you all think this is so amusing. Frighten the children half out of their wits. If the young lady said she saw the attack at a school, why don't you believe her?
What attack? Who attacked the school?
Birds did. Crows. You're all sitting around here debating. What do you want him to do next? Crash through that window?
Mommy.
Shh. Put on your coat. Why don't you all go home? Lock your doors and windows. What's the fastest way to San Francisco?
The freeway, ma'am.
How do I find it?
I'm going out that way, lady. You can follow me.
Well, then let's leave now.
Now, do you feel like you learn things about building suspense by working on The Birds with Hitchcock?
Yeah, he was very good. He was very good on suspense, and he was very good on detail. You know, it was amazing. I'd be in the middle of discussing a scene with him, and he would say out of the blue, "Well, how long has she been in San Francisco now? How long has she been in Bodega Bay?" And I would say, "Well, I don't know, 2 days." And he'd say, "Well, has she called her father?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Has she called her father?" I said, "No, she hasn't." He said, "Well, don't you think she should call her father? Tell him where she is, you know?" And I said, "Sure, you know." So it's easy to do a phone call to Papa. Or things like, I'll remember this always. When I described the scene to him where she goes up to the attic. I don't know if you recall the movie where there's been a big bird attack on the house and they're all sitting around, and Mitch is asleep in the chair, and she's asleep in the other chair, and she hears a sound, and she looks up, she leans over to Mitch, and he doesn't hear her because he's asleep, and she grabs a flashlight and goes to investigate. And I'm describing the scene to him, and this to me, by the way, it didn't turn out to be this in the film itself, but in the screenplay, when she opens the door to that attic, there's every bird imaginable to mankind in that room. I mean, there are hawks, there are eagles, there are seagulls, there are anything you could imagine is in that room. When her eyes pan that room, we see all the birds in the universe in that room, and we know right at that moment that this is a unified attack against human beings and not something we're playing around with here in Bodega Bay. It didn't turn out that way. In the film, he just used crows and seagulls. But I described the scene to him, and she goes up the stairs, and she hesitates, and then she opens the door, and all these birds are in there. And he was silent for a while, and then he said, let me see if I have this correctly, Evan. And I said, yeah. And I told him, he said, there's been this massive bird attack on the house. I said, yes, there has. He said, and now she hears a sound, and Mitch is asleep, so she doesn't want to wake him up. I said, yes. So she goes to investigate by herself. Have I got that correct? I said, yes. He says, well, is the girl daft? You know. So I said, well, you know, I realized he had me. And he said, we'll take the curse off it. He said, we'll have her first go into the kitchen and spot the lovebirds in the cage, and this makes her feel a bit more complacent about it. And then we'll have her along the way open some other doors, and she'll see that everything's okay. And we'll lull the audience until she opens that final door, and boom, there are all the birds.
Can you think of an example of a scene that Hitchcock added that you hadn't written?
Yes, well, there were many in the film. For example, the scene where Melanie is trapped in the phone booth. Mm-hmm. This is not in the screenplay at all. Not at all. The scene ends, I don't know, the birds are chasing the children and everybody's running from the town. But it was Hitch who put her in that phone booth. And Hitch, who had all the birds smashing into the phone booth, picking up the metaphor of she being a bird in a gilded cage from the beginning of the film, and now she's back in the gilded cage in the phone booth. You know, it was wonderful imagery and scary as hell when they're battering the walls of that thing. You think they're going to get her.
The other nice thing about a phone booth is that she's enclosed, but it's also a transparent enclosure, so you can see her through the glass.
And you can see everything that's happening, and you see people running, and the one guy with blood all over his face almost trying to want to get in the phone booth. So it was a brilliant scene, and not at all in the screenplay.
Now, did you enjoy working with Hitchcock?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was wonderful. He was like the father every boy wished he could have. You know, he was, I think, approximately twice my age while we were working on the film, and in good health and good spirits, and felt, told me many, many times that he felt he was entering the golden age of making films, his golden age of making films. He had just come off the success of Psycho, you have to understand, and was looking forward to Birds being an even bigger success. And, but he was humorous, he was anecdotal, he was generous, he with his time and with his patience, and you know, I was a new kid on the block out there in many, many respects, and he took me under his wing, not to use a metaphor.
And then attacked you.
Evan Hunter wrote the screenplay for Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. He spoke earlier this year with Terry Gross. Tonight, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is hosting a birthday bash in Hollywood for Hitchcock, whose 100th birthday is today. We'll be right back. is Fresh Air.